Thank you for joining us today at LifePoint Church. We believe Sundays are an opportunity to know God. For more information, including locations, service times, and small groups, please visit our website at lifepointchurch.tv. Let's jump into the message.
What's up, everybody? Come on, how y'all doing today? It's good to see all of you guys, and I want to say welcome to LifePoint Church. If you are new with us, especially, we want to say a big welcome to you. LifePoint, can we say hello to our first-time guests, everybody? Come on, even those joining us online. My name is Mike Burnett. I get to serve as pastor here if you're new with us, along with my wife, Stephanie, and it is such a privilege to be with you guys today, and thank you for joining us on Time Change Sunday. How many of you hated losing an hour of sleep? Actually, some of y'all are 7:30 people, and you're finally here. You made it, so thanks for that. Hey, a couple things. I first of all just want to say welcome to our online campus, our Austin Peay State University campus, and we have a lot of cool things happening. I want to make sure everybody's tracking our Easter weekend, our Easter services schedule. Like Pastor Bo said earlier, we have 8 services on the weekend. We actually added back our 6 a.m. service because we're just concerned that we're not going to have enough room for everyone. So here's what I want to ask you to do. We have 2 on Saturday at 3:30 and 5, then Sunday at Austin Peay at 11 a.m. I'm telling you, we are planning for that service to be full. And then also 5 services at our Rossview campus, 6, 7:30, 9, 10:30, and noon. And I'm challenging everyone at LifePoint to invite someone to come and sit with you at one of our Easter services. And listen, if you have a guest, you come to the service they can come to, that their schedule fits. But I'm gonna appeal to all of you. If you're a regular here, and especially if you don't have a guest with you, first of all, boo on you. But second, like, don't come to our 9 or 10:30 service. Come to 6 a.m. or 7:30 or Saturday or Austin Peay or our noon service, because we just know our statistics always happen this way every year. 9 and 10:30 are our fullest services for guests, and we don't want any of our guests sitting in the lobby or overflowing in my office to watch the service. So please help us manage it and go to one of our other services so that we can have the greatest experience for our guests. And we want you to have a great experience as well. How many of you are gonna be here for 6 a.m. service? Come on, thank you, 8 people, great. We're giving out $100 bills at the 6 a.m. service, y'all. Yeah, we got 2 more, anybody else? Our 6 a.m. service is family style, so there will not be kid point during that 6 a.m. service. And everybody say to our kid point team, you're welcome, amen. All right. Well, we are gonna have a great weekend for Easter. I'm so excited for Easter. And right before that, we'll be finishing our Words of Wisdom series. Before I get into that message today, I just wanna say thank you as always for being a generous church. We are a church that believes in tithing and giving offerings. And so I want to encourage you, if this is your home church, that you would be faithful in tithing. And that is a tenth of our income we give to the Lord. And listen, everyone on our team does this. My wife and I do this faithfully and more, actually. So I want to encourage all of us, if this is your home church, to be a tithing member of your church. I'm excited about the season we're in, and your generosity is making some really cool doors open for us, because we have opportunity to see God's church continue to grow, not only at our Rossview campus, but we've been asked to take, 2 things I wanna tell you about. We've been asked to take the lead over a church on Long Island, New York, everybody, and they've given us the entire asset, everything about it. And so they've asked us to bring leadership, our culture, our systems, our church. It's gonna be LifePoint Church, New York, and we wanna become a part of helping a 70-year-old church become alive again. How many of you think it's a great opportunity to revitalize a church? Your generosity is helping make that happen. In fact, some of you might feel stirred either today or while I'm saying it, or in the next couple of days. Maybe God would have you move to New York and help us revitalize this campus. Do I have any takers right now? I'm just taking names. Anybody? All right. Well, praying for you to be awakened in the middle of the night. Honestly, it's a great opportunity, and the Lord has opened the door for this, and we were able to do it because you guys and your generosity put us in a position to do it. Also, Monday, we officially broke ground on our Tiny Town Road campus, everybody, and I'm so thankful for that. I do want to tell you, as pastor, I want to assure you that we will be careful in every aspect with this new building, with the funding and the fundraising. We're going to do our very best to steward this well and to manage it well, but you and I have an incredible opportunity to always be a part of what God is doing in the earth and to be a part of building what God is building for the future. We're not building a church for us. We're building a church for decades and decades to come. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, David was tasked with building a place of worship for the Lord. And I love his response. He was the king, and so the priests even came to him and they're like, David, don't worry about the expense. Don't even worry about a bull for this altar. We'll provide a bull for you in your stead. And David said these words, I'll never forget them. He said, I will never offer something to God that doesn't cost me anything. And I just want to encourage you, we're building something great for God, whether it's here at Austin Peay, on Tiny Town Road, online in New York, in Antioch, Tennessee. But I want all of us to be a part of building what God is building. Don't let your family be one of the families that receives only. You come and sit, you take, you don't serve, you don't give towards it. Let's all be a part of contributing to what the Lord is building. Can I hear an amen, everybody? Praise God. I'm so excited. Hey, today we're in week number 6 of our Words of Wisdom series. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. And I've titled the message today, Follow the Warning Signs of God. Follow the warning signs of God. So far in this series, we've had some great messages on the value of healthy relationships, the guarding our heart, talking about a fear and reverence for God. On that fear of God message, I've had so many people comment or email or send messages and feedback, specifically as they're reading through John Bevere's book, The Awe of God. I encourage all of you to go back and get any of these messages that you've missed. But today we're looking at following the warning signs of God. Let me just ask you, how many of you are good at paying attention to road signs, like speed limits, stop signs, caution signs? Anybody good at that? Come on, some of y'all raising your hand and your wife's like, you are a liar in church. Like, you just wrong for that. I was driving on a country road yesterday. My daughters were involved in a deal in Nashville and got on this country road and I saw on like some farmland on trees, it'll have a sign that says posted, no trespassing. I love those signs that say, no trespassers will be shot, survivors will be shot again. Have y'all seen that? That's only in Tennessee. All you Californians are like, what in the world? It's a way of life here. Go and get you some. Some of you, that's why you moved here, because you're excited about shooting trespassers, you weirdo. Anyway, anybody good, though, at obeying the signs of the road? Like, I don't know if you know this or not, but I want to say that I'm good at following the rules of the road. Obeying posted signs. My wife, on the other hand, would say that I'm not good at obeying those signs, and I have a few tickets to prove my struggle. Anyway, posted signs on the road are actually there to help you, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but you're actually responsible to know the signs of the road. If you have a license to drive a vehicle, you are responsible. You are a required participant in the safety of everyone else, and so you drive by road signs, you're eligible, you're responsible to adhere to them. Stop signs, yield signs, speed limits. I came across some goofy signs I just wanted to share with you today, some on the road, some on properties. These are some signs that I think are funny. Caution, water on road during rain. That's in case anyone didn't know what's happening. I have so many jokes of states that I want to say this sign belongs to, but I'll let you decide. This is just great. I love this. Like, I feel like this is some of y'all's life, this sign right here. This is just what you're going through. And everybody in your family's like, good luck, brother. Here's one, no trespassing unless you can make it to the fence in 0.00023 seconds, because I can. That is just, that's so crazy and vicious. Here's one for the ladies, forget no trespassing. Forget the dog, beware of the wife. Now, I want to say it's true. My wife is a better shot at the range and everything than I am. But anyway, this is great. Ladies, you should all get one of these for Mother's Day. Okay, getting to some real signs here. This is very clear. What do you do? Turn around. Where do you do it? Okay, that's very clear. It's self-explanatory. Here's one I love. Caution, stay back. These are usually on the back of big dumpster trucks or dump trucks with rocks. Stay back 500 feet, not responsible for damage. But how many of you like to drift behind those trucks or draft with their wind and you get real close and then you get mad when a rock hits your windshield and you pull up next to them and honk at them and you're yelling? They told you. It's on you. Here's one, stop. Anybody good at this? Anybody know this means actual stop, not rolling stop, not a yield or suggestion? I had a lady after first service said, my brother always said, no cop, no stop. Officer, is that okay with you? Here's one that we all know if you work on Fort Campbell, right? This feels like it's all over the place. Restricted area, no, do not enter. And I'll be honest, when I see a sign like this, I pretty much take it seriously. I don't try to bend the rules on that one. Usually death is on the other side of that door if I tiptoe in there. And then here's one that I want us to focus on for the rest of our talk today. This stop sign is amazing. It is stop, don't go left, don't go right, don't go back or forward. All you can do is go up. I mean, I don't know what other options you have. This is freeze, don't move, wrong way, don't enter that way. This road's closed, you are absolutely stuck. Posted warning signs are actually there to help you. And I want us to actually use this sign as a guide for the rest of our time together. We are actually expected to follow posted signs. My oldest two daughters are drivers, and we've gone through the driver's ed book a lot, and over again, they teach you the road signs because you're responsible to adhere to them. They're not suggestions. Speed limits are not suggestions. How many of you are masters at adding nine? Right, 45 plus nine. And we have this idea that cops won't pull you over till 9 or 10 over, right? So we go 8 or 9 over, and that's just not true. I asked a cop today, and he said, we can pull you over at 1 mile over. When you violate a posted sign and get a ticket, you can't say, well, I didn't see the sign. Because you're responsible to pay attention to the road signs as you're driving on the road. You can't tell the officer, well, I don't believe in that sign. You can't tell the officer, I don't agree with that sign. And you can't tell the officer, well, I had a bad upbringing, so that sign doesn't apply to me. You don't get a pass on the rules of the road, because your dismissal of those rules will not only harm you, but potentially harm many others on the road as well. Signs like stop, don't enter, turn around, no trespassing, bridge out. If I were to ask you honestly, how many of you are pretty good at following signs, it would be a great exercise in self-deception. But the real question I want to ask us is, if God were to post some signs in your life, are you good at following them? I think one of the greatest signs that we have is the collection of scripture that we read often. But many of us would say, I see those signs, I hear those signs, I even recognize that those signs are there, but I'm not sure that they apply to me. So I want us to spend the next little bit of our time, first of all, talking about how to pay attention to God's posted signs. We're in Proverbs chapter 4. And as a guiding verse for this message, we're gonna look at verses 14 through 19. And I've read it over and over again. And I'm trying to, like, I always wanna be careful in preaching the Old Testament that I don't lump some law or set of laws onto the people under a new covenant. But the reality is the word of God has been true forever, and God's standards don't change. And there are some great principle and words of wisdom in the book of Proverbs that absolutely will save you from a lot of pain and heartache. I just knew the Lord wanted this message for our church this weekend. I was actually preaching, planning to go a different direction with the message today, but as I kept coming back to preparation and then in our sermon prep meeting, our team agreed, this is the word for you. And listen, I just want you to hear me say this on the front end. I love you. As your pastor, I pray for you often, and I want nothing more in my life than to lead you to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Now, let me just tell you, being a fully devoted follower of Jesus is more than just believing in Jesus. It includes obeying and following Jesus. How many of you know it's not enough to just believe he's real? The devil believes in him. We're called to follow him and obey him. There's active participation in our life as followers of Christ. So as we've been in the book of Proverbs, we come to this really confrontational passage. It's one that every one of us needs to evaluate and follow. And I think it's incredible wisdom for our lives. Proverbs chapter 4, and this is gonna hit all of us a little differently. And some of us in the room, we're gonna feel some pain from this verse. Just listen. Proverbs 4, 14 and 15. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way or the direction of the evil. Avoid it, do not go on it, turn away from it, and pass on. That's our air conditioners, no one's gonna die. Every time that kicks on, people go, oh. Do not enter the path of the wicked, don't walk in the way of evil. And then these four steps, if you think of that stop sign, that's the first part of this verse, and then that stop sign with the four different things below it. Avoid it, don't go on it, turn away from it, and pass on. I'm just gonna tell you as a pastor, I've walked with hundreds and hundreds of people through very difficult situations and bad choices. And sometimes things have happened to us that are outside of our control. Speaking of a stop sign, my wife's grandfather, I met him one time, and then he was killed by someone who ran a stop sign, talking on the phone, angry, yelling on the phone, ran a stop sign and T-boned my grandfather, and it killed him within a day. Sometimes things happen out of our control, but oftentimes many of us are living in the consequences of our decisions and the relationships of people that we do life with. In fact, if you look at the book of Proverbs, there are some major themes that recur throughout the book of Proverbs. Don't be lazy. Don't be a sluggard. Hard work. Be generous. Watch your life and your mouth. And one of the predominant themes of the book of Proverbs is evaluate who you do life with. Consider who you're doing life with. Many of us, if we are living in the consequences of decisions, if we're honest, we could start tracing those decisions back in time. There's almost always a starting point, a first friendship, an initiation of relationship a person, a voice, an influence, some outside cultural voice that starts leaning in and influencing our decisions. Again, I don't want to be unclear here. Sometimes we just make poor decisions on our own. But most often, it's the result of relationships and influences with others that cost us. The writer of Proverbs says this, don't even enter the path of the wicked. Some of you are like, well, the wicked, that's such a strong word. Wicked here is referring to anyone that's not following under the lordship of Christ and helping you walk in the lordship of Christ even better. So when you're thinking of wicked, think of anybody that's not helping you grow in your walk with God. Here's what he's saying. Don't even enter the path and go in the way. Don't walk in the same direction and the same way of the evil. Let me give it to you in a different Mike's International version, okay? Imagine the home of someone who's far from God and directing you in another way or whatever. Don't even get on the sidewalk that goes up to their front door. I'll give you another. You know what? Before you get on that sidewalk, don't even park in the driveway that leads to the sidewalk that takes you to their front door. You know what? Don't even circle the cul-de-sac that's outside of the driveway that goes to the sidewalk that leads to the door of the evil and the wicked in your life. Let's back it up even further. Don't even go in the neighborhood of the street and the cul-de-sac and the driveway and the sidewalk that leads to the person that causes you problems. You know what? Let's go even further back. Don't even go on that side of town with the evil and the wicked. The writer of Proverbs here is putting a massive don't enter sign here, a big, huge stop sign. Stop, don't go there, avoid it, turn away, leave, walk the other direction. Can I just tell you as pastor, I've walked with so many people through so many painful circumstances, and if we start getting honest, we go, how did we get here? And it always started back here. I have a friend, a pastor in Tampa, Florida, Aaron Burke, good friend of mine, and he has this attitude. He says, hey, a lot of people do things that I don't do, and they want to argue about if it's okay or not, or if it's right or wrong, or if God's okay with it. And he goes, look, I've just decided there are some guardrails in my life, and there's certain things that I go, you can, but I won't. And some of us need to just put some hard lines and some guarding statements in our life and some stop signs in the area of life that says, man, I'm going to guard my life from people that can cause me harm. Don't enter the pathway. In chapter 5, he actually goes even more specific about adultery. And he actually intimates in the book in Proverbs chapter 5 that adultery is always the result of something that started up here where it was safe. And he's like, don't ever start down the path. Here's some ways I'd like to say it. If you don't want to end up there, don't start here. I'll give it to you from the prophet from the 90s. Don't start none. Won't be none. If you don't want to end up there, don't start here. Then he gives us 4 clear directions. Don't enter the path. Don't walk in the way of evil. And then he gives us these 4 alarm statements. Avoid it. Don't go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on from it. Has anybody ever talked to your kids this way? Anybody got influences in your kid's life where you're like, hey, that's not a good influence. You need to go, get away from that person. You need to leave that kid alone. You need to leave that student alone. We are so good at monitoring the street signs on the roads. We're good at stopping complete stops when a cop's at the 4-way stop. We're good at not entering and not trespassing when they have I'll shoot you signs. But are we good at following the posted signs of God's word when it comes to the influences and the voices and the people in our lives that can cause us harm? Some people immediately go, well, how are we gonna win these people to Jesus? It's not the same conversation. I'm talking about people that have influence and voice and direction in your life. Are we good at following the posted signs of God's word when it comes to the influences of your life? I'm talking social media, celebrities, politicians, friends, coworkers, folks in your life, shows that we watch, music that we listen to that can cause us harm or us toxic. Are we good at following God's warning signs? Let me just say it for you like this. If you don't want to get there, then decide I'm not going to start here. When I was 17, I became a Christian. Halloween of my senior year of high school. Before that, I was big into the party life. I grew up in a home with a single mom who worked 2 jobs and 2 older brothers. I was the youngest of 3 boys. And we didn't have a ton of rules in the house. It was don't die and don't burn stuff down. And show up by curfew, just be on time to go to bed. When I was a freshman in high school, my oldest brother went into college and joined a fraternity. And then that brother became the president of his fraternity. Then my second brother in my local town, my second brother joined a fraternity when I was a junior in high school, and he became the president of his fraternity. So both of my older brothers were college fraternity presidents at ETSU in Johnson City. Guess what I got to do all the time without any trouble? I loved to party. I was thick in that scene. Every night of the week I could go to either one of my brother's fraternity houses. I was welcomed in as this darling legacy younger brother. I annoyed the fire out of them, but I thought they loved me. Drank all I want, smoked whatever I needed. It didn't matter to me. Then I gave my life to Jesus. And all of a sudden it was like the Lord, I'm telling you, it was supernatural. God, it was like a switch flipped in my life where I just didn't even want that stuff anymore. And I walked away from that throughout the rest of my senior year. Well, then I got accepted to the University of Tennessee. My freshman year of college, UT was named the number one party school in America. I don't even know who does that poll. And they celebrated by throwing weeks and weeks of massive parties on campus, in dorm rooms. There was weed everywhere. There was drinking all over the place. And prior to going to college, I had a friend that I worked with named Gary. And I was always hammering Gary. Gary, you gotta come to church with me. Bro, you gotta come to church. Gary, I'm praying for you. He was one of my closest buddies. He was my brother Kenny's age, my oldest brother's age. And Gary would always humor me and say, that's great, that's cute. I'm glad you found the Lord. You got Jesus in your life. And then finally Gary got honest with me one night. We were working a late shift at this company that we worked for. And I was working double and triple shifts to try to save money for college. And Gary looked at me and he was like, Mike, I've had friends like you that got real turned on and fired up for God. And then they went to college. And he said, I have a great friend that went to the same church you attend and went to UT, and he left all that behind because UT is such a crazy party school, you won't survive it. And he said, I'm telling you, you're gonna get to school and you're gonna lose all this passion for God and you're gonna throw yourself right back in that party scene. Well, bro, that double dog dared me. I'll just never forget, and I don't know if this is good motivation or not, I remember thinking for Gary to never have to look at me and go, I told you so. And because I never wanted to lose my witness for God for Gary, and because I just wanted to please the Lord, I remember a week before I left for college at UT, my freshman year going into college, I had a prayer meeting with the Lord. And I told God before I moved to college, I said, Lord, I will never in 4 years of school, however many years it takes me, I will never go to a bar, a club, a frat house, a frat party, any parties with flowing alcohol, weed, and hookup culture. I'll never go. And you know what that cost me? A lot of lonely Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I spent a lot of time alone in my dorm. But you know what I decided? I'll never end up there if I never start here. And I didn't know guardrails. I didn't know Proverbs 4 as a young Christian. I didn't know that. I just knew that I wanted to safeguard some areas of my life because I never wanted to end up in that situation again. I knew how to party. I knew how to drive inebriated. I knew how to do all that. I'm not recommending that. It's terrible and it's awful. But I knew how to live that life. But God had called me to a different life. And I didn't want to end up there again because it was easy for me to slide right back into that life. So I just made a decision. And I made a decision when I wasn't tempted. I made a decision when I was clairvoyant. I made a decision when I wasn't in that environment. How many of you know it's really hard to say no to that hookup when you're already laying down? How many of you know it's really hard to say no when you're already half drunk? You gotta make these decisions today when you're clairvoyant and when you're in a position where you can say, God, with your help, I'm not gonna end up there because I'm not gonna start here. Let me help you with this. If you don't wanna end up in addiction, don't start playing around with substances. If you don't want to end up in an affair, don't start flirting with your coworker or having hangouts or doing lunch meetings in the name of work, and don't start private messaging one another. If you don't want to end up there, don't start here. If you don't want to end up in witchcraft and demonic stuff, I had a guy today talk to me about how to get their kid delivered from demonic oppression. If you don't want to end up there, don't start playing with sorcery and tarot card readings and palm readers and Ouija boards on the weekends. That's crazy to me. If you don't want to end up in bitterness and a life of unforgiveness, then start today to go, I'm gonna forgive quickly. I'm gonna forgive without strings attached. If you don't wanna end up there, don't enter the path of the wicked. Nobody ends up there without starting on the path. And we have some clear warning signs from God. And then God, the writer of Proverbs, I mean, he's obviously a dad of a teenager, starts answering the why. How many of you tell your kids, don't do this, and they go, why? And you just wanna go, you young parents, cause I'm the dad, that's why, cause I'm the grown up and you're not. I don't know what this is. This is not part of my sermon. Neither is that. Clearly we are having some technical difficulties. Write down your old notes, old school here. Verse 16, he goes on to give the why. He goes, don't even enter the path of the wicked. Don't even start down the journey in the way of the unrighteous. Why? For they, talking about wicked people, ungodly people, people that don't love the Lord, they cannot sleep unless they've done wrong. They can't sleep unless they've made somebody else stubborn, stumble. Have you ever noticed that evil is always recruiting? Have you ever noticed that? I mean, think of everything we're branded with in culture right now. Everything adverse to God is always recruiting, always demanding your attention, always asking for your attention and your affections. Through social media, through singers and artists and entertainment and politics, always recruiting. They can't sleep until they've made somebody else stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. It's an insatiable hunger for people who are not helping you grow in Christ to have more of you away from Christ than more of you devoted to Christ. I don't know how else to say it. Listen to me when I tell you this. Satan hates you. He hates your guts, and he will use people to take you down and to ruin your life. I know none of us want to think of people in our lives of evil, but I want you to remember the devil is evil and he will always use people to harm you. It could be a longtime coworker, some social media influencer, a celebrity that you follow, a person you're falling for that's not your spouse, and you better know all of hell is at full attention trying to drag you onto the path of the evil. Why? Because paths always lead somewhere. And the writer of Proverbs is saying, don't even get on the path. As soon as you get on that path, you ever get stuck in one-way traffic? Good guy, and you can't get out of it. It's like a vortex of downtown right turns, and you're like stuck. Don't even get on the path. He goes, why? Because they can't sleep until they made someone stumble. Verse 18 says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. The path of the wicked will destroy you. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't even know what they're stumbling over. It's just darkness. So we choose the path of the righteous. Well, how do we start doing that? Let me give you some pretty direct follow-up here. First of all, we're gonna follow the directions of the Lord, just like we follow the road signs. You ever drive through construction and you have to really pay attention to the way the cones are and how they're directing you in traffic and all that? We're gonna follow the direction of the Lord. And let me give you five areas of direction that God gives us later in the chapter. Proverbs 4, starting in verse 23, starts by saying, keep your heart with all vigilance. Man, are you vigilantly keeping your heart, everybody? Like, do you think about what's coming into your life? What's speaking into your life, where your heart's at? Do you love God? Do you love people? Do you love his word? Keep your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flow the springs of life. Pastor Bo, our campus pastor at Rossview, did a great job preaching this text 3 weeks ago. He says, keep your heart with all vigilance. Then he says, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far away from you. In other words, stop gossiping, stop lying, stop listening to gossips and liars. Hello, put all that devious talk out of your life. But I have to know what's going on in the world. I gotta follow all my friends. Some of us don't know how to do life without drama and gossip involved in it. And the writer of the Proverbs is saying, part of staying off the path of evil is guard your heart, guard your mouth, and what you listen to. Then he says in verse 25, let your eyes look directly forward. You ever have to tell somebody, look at me, focus on me. Don't look to the left or right. He said, let your gaze be straight ahead before you. If you ever watch a horse running in a race because they're so distractible, they have to put blinders on their lives. And some people say, you Christians, you're so naive. You should put blinders on and bury your head in the sand. No, I'm not naive. I'm very well aware that I am highly distractible by this world and by sin and by my flesh. And I'm gonna let my eyes be focused right on the Lord and his word. I'm not trying to be naive. I'm trying to be proactive to protect my heart and my mouth and my eyes. And then he says, verse 26, ponder the path of your feet. When's the last time you just evaluated the life you're living, the way you're walking? He said, ponder the path of your feet and let all of your ways be sure. Some of you have never stopped and taken inventory of your friends, the shows you watch, the life you're living. He says, ponder the path of your feet. And then finally he says, don't swerve to the right or the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Jesus said it like this. In Matthew's gospel, he said, wide and easy is the road that leads to destruction. And he said, many people walk that road. And he said, but narrow and hard is the way that leads to life everlasting, and very few find their way to it. Because the only way to life everlasting is through Jesus. So notice what the writer of Proverbs is saying. These are the signposts we're gonna put in our yard, in our lives. Stop signs, don't enter, swerve, turn around, U-turn. We're gonna guard our heart, our mouths, our eyes, our ears. We're gonna evaluate the path of our life that we're living. We're gonna stay focused and not go to the west, the left or the right. These are action steps that you and I can take if we're gonna preserve a life under Christ. And we get to obey these posted signs from God. Remember when I mentioned earlier, we're good at obeying road signs, but are we good at following the strong signs of the Lord? How many of you are hearing this word so far as like you're getting some warning signs from God and some things you need to change already? Y'all hearing that today, everybody? Well, here's what happens. We get really good at hearing these signs, and we can even be good at believing them and thinking that's probably best, but I'm the exception. That doesn't really apply today anymore, does it? That doesn't really apply to my life. Here's what we say. Man, listen, God knows my heart. Or we say something boneheaded like this. I don't have a conviction about that. What are you talking? You don't have a conviction about something God said? You don't get to make that choice. We become the exception. We start thinking like, I don't have to keep my heart. I mean, I don't have to change my mouth. I've been talking like this since I was a kid. I grew up in a sailor's home. I mean, come on, I'm Irish, for God's sake. Like, we start making all these excuses. I'm Irish, so I can say that, right? We start making all these excuses about why we're the exception, and then our life starts looking like this. Instead of bridge out, I'm gonna die, we go, well, let me just jump the chasm. Let me speed my life up. Let me put everyone at risk and just see how well I can jump over that gap. We say things like, I know God says to put away crooked speech and devious talk and gossip, but man, I can say whatever I want because foul language doesn't bother me. I can watch movies with horrible language, taking God's name in vain, or music that degrades women and trashes it. I can listen, it doesn't bother me. The fact that it doesn't bother us is part of our problem. We should have convictions about these things. We say things like, well, I know the Bible says avoid longing or lusting or looking towards a man or woman that I'm attracted to, and Jesus, I know he said if I lust, then I've committed adultery in my heart, but hey, I'm just looking, I'm not touching. I've literally had grown men say, I'm just admiring God's creation. And we think, I'm the exception. I can look lustfully after her. I can go out to lunch with him. I mean, what's it hurting? We say, I know the Lord says, don't even enter the path of the wicked, but man, I gotta do business deals with these people. And I know they keep throwing vodka down my throat and they keep inviting me to strip clubs because I'm in this world with them now, but I can't give up these business deals. I would rather you be poor and holy than having deals that cost you your integrity, because we're just gonna decide, if I don't wanna end up there, I'm not gonna start here. We say, I know God expects me to give grace and to forgive everybody, but man, I just can't stand that one coworker, and besides, you know what they did to me, right? It's exceptional. I'll make my own jump. It seems like the verse the Lord calls us to in Luke 6 that we've been talking about all year, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? Notice Jesus didn't say, why do you call me Lord and not believe appropriately? I wanna let all of you in on a little secret. None of the disciples believed fully in Jesus. And they didn't believe fully in Jesus the same way. Jesus did not call us only to a place of belief. He called us to a place of obedience and surrender. Now, we're not saved because we obey. We obey because he saved us. Are you hearing me, everybody? So he's asking us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not put these guardrails in your life, and not put these, avoid the path of evil as a way of living in your life? So let me just push on you here. Please hear me when I say it. It's because I love you. I wanna be your pastor for a moment. Don't believe for a moment that you're the exception. That's what the devil told Eve in the garden. Don't think you'll survive living without integrity for long. Don't see how close you can live to the line of God's will and God's desire for you. There's never a time in scripture that you have the right to step outside of God's desire. And he, I think, is a patient father. I think he's a good dad. He's like, knock it off, quit it, stop. Boy, what did I, girl, did you, you better, anybody, any parents know how to escalate? Hey, quit it. Girl, if I swear, I'ma pull this car around. I think the Lord just escalates. And here's the gift of God, you ready? The ultimate gift of God is he will expose you. Jesus said in Luke 7, what's done in secret will be brought to light. Why is that exposure a gift? Because it gives you the freedom to heal and repent and come back to the way of righteousness. God loves you so much, he won't let you live in that for long because it'll destroy you and your family and others in your lives. The strength of this proverb is to challenge you to stop, turn around, don't enter, don't even get close to a life of sin and destruction and people that will draw you away from God. Are y'all hearing anything from me today? Is this helpful to you guys? So how do we do it? If you guys in the back will help me, just jump me down to point number 3 on my notes. I'm going to skip over 1 Corinthians 9 here. Go look at this 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 later, but jump down to point 3. We're going to stay in our lane and guard our life in Christ. Twice since I've been pastor here, I've preached a series called Guardrails. We're going to have it available for you on our social media this week. I want you to go back and listen to this series. And I'm going to condense a 6-week series into 4 minutes. Remember our guiding verse, Proverbs 4. Don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way in the same direction of the evil one. Avoid it. Don't go on it. Turn away from it if you're on it. Pass on if you're getting near it. Guardrails are these big, giant silver barricades on the edge of the highway. Most of you never see them until you hit one or you see one that somebody else hit. Apparently there's a guardrail on exit 1 that everybody is like famously, Gary the guard, there it is, Gary the guardrail. It's got its own Google street sign or something like that. Guardrails are actually a system designed to keep vehicles from straying off into dangerous or off-limits areas. Guardrails are put in a safe place, but it's 2 feet past the guardrail that's a cliff or that's a big drop-off or a bridge. Guardrails are often put in a safe spot. And I want to invite you to consider the concept of putting some guardrails in your life in the safe place that will keep you from ever getting there. Are you hearing what I'm saying, everybody? Remember what I said earlier. If I don't want to get there, then I can't start here. I'll give you an example of a guardrail for my life. Like I'm very protected when it comes to communications and meetings with women, period. I live with women. I got a wife and 4 daughters. My dog's a girl. I'm not uncomfortable with women. I'm not scared of women. But I'm not gonna get in a private text exchange with you or some DM exchange with you. All of my passwords are given to my assistant and 2 other members of our staff. You can't private message me without any of them seeing it because I'm never gonna get there with some secret conversation if I never start here. I won't meet alone with a female. I'm not scared of women. I talk to women all the time, but I'm not having a private meeting offsite or I'm not picking you up and taking you to lunch to deal with your issues and pastor you through some things. I'm never gonna do it. It's not because I'm scared of you. It's because I've watched too many times couples that ended up in affairs. When you talk to them, you go, how did this all start? And it always started back with, I got on this path. And what I've decided a long time ago about women. And ladies, I'm gonna tell you, do the same thing. My wife's the same way. She's not gonna meet with a dude. She's not got any private conversations with guys. Hey, listen to this. I don't have any best friends that aren't my family. You go ask my daughters. They'll tell you. You go, who's your best friend? They go, my daddy. I tell them every day, you're my best friend. I love you. My wife's my best friend. I don't have any other best friends. Are you kidding me? I got some other guardrails in my life. You'll never catch me on the Clarksville Now with a DUI with a pastor who's been drinking too much. You know why? Because I never, ever drink ever. So I don't end up there because I don't start here. And you go, well, those are hard lines for you. That's fine. You can, but I won't. Because I take verses like this seriously. Paul said, I buffet and discipline my body every day so that I may not ever become disqualified. And I'm just here to remind you folks. Listen, I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm here to challenge you. When God is giving these strong warnings, don't even go there. Because if you don't ever want to end up out there, if you don't ever want to end up in addiction, don't play around with weed. If you don't want to end up with spiritual darkness in your house, don't be having some seance Saturdays and go see a tarot card reader. Are you kidding me? This stuff is real. We wrestle not on flesh and blood, but spirits and principalities. There's a devil in hell who wants to destroy you. Don't give that fool any room. He's a defeated foe. He's not a friend to play with. If you don't want to end up there, don't start here. Don't even get on the path. Let me give you 5 guardrails. That are affirmation guardrails, things that you can put into your life. And the goal is if you'll bump on this guardrail, it'll be a lot less than if you drive off a cliff, right? So let me give you 5 guardrails if we can jump to that screen as well. First guardrail is be fully devoted to Jesus. Can I just remind you, the best defense you have against sin is love Jesus a lot. It's really hard to sin and sing worship songs at the same time. It's really hard to sin while you're reading your Bible. In fact, let me just be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask God every day, Holy Spirit, fill me today. Baptize me today. Empower me today to live this life for you. Be faithful to your church and to your small group. What happens a lot of times when we get on that path is we dip out of our church. And we go, because of shame and conviction, we go, I don't want to tell them my secrets and I think I'm the exception and I can hide this and handle this and cover this. Be faithful to your church and to your small group. You know why? Because your small group leader might look at you and go, hey, really, you should move out from your girlfriend's apartment. Because you're living in sin, man, and you're on a path of wickedness that God won't bless. Well, I don't want them judging me. The body of Christ is actually called to judge one another. I don't know if you knew that or not. We're called to hold each other accountable and call out sin in our lives. And one of the greatest guardrails you can put in your life is give yourself to your local church and your small group. Number four, build a life of daily prayer and Bible study. Like, read God's word, do what it says. Pray, talk to God every day. Listen to the Lord. And then fifth, repent of anything that displeases God. How many of you got some things in your life that you're probably hiding? Air conditioner, thank you. How many of you got some stuff in your life? Don't even raise your hand, because I already know the answer. How many of you got some stuff in your life that you know God sees it and you know it? You've not let anybody else know it. You know your only play is to repent. Just let God know. He already knows. The Lord's waiting on you to trust him. It's a guardrail. I want to walk in repentance all the time. Then some guardrails of prohibition. Let me give you these and then we'll close. Thank you, Pastor Elmer, for helping me close. They're always trying to rush me off of here and I'm running late. I'm sorry. Establish guardrails and boundaries regarding any form of sexual immorality. Hey guys, look at me. Pornography, nudity on television shows. You, I can handle that. A topless woman on a TV show, that's not a big deal. That's the big deal. Sex outside of marriage, extramarital sex, same-sex sex, swinging sex, like anything that's not monogamous, heterosexual, married sex, like repent, put up guardrails. I'm not going on dates with girlfriends. I'm not doing that. I'm not spending the night. I'm not doing sleepovers. Just put up guardrails. Say it. I'm not gonna do it. All forms of greed, that's greed with your time and your talents and your money. Can I tell you something, church? Christians are some of the greediest people statistically. 85% of Christians never serve other people. They don't serve in their church. They let 10 to 12% of the church do all the work to serve. We're greedy with our time. We're greedy with our skills. Go to Growth Track, get in the class and give away your talents. And statistically, less than 5% of Christians in America actually tithe 10% of their income to the church. You know how to fight greed is be a giver. We're gonna put guardrails against greed by serving and giving and being generous towards people. Put guardrails and boundaries against every area of bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, and rage. Some of you driving to work infuriates you. You just can't control it any longer. Quit your job. Quit your job. I'd rather you be holy and at peace than make a ton of money with people you hate. Just put guardrails in place. Like, just bound that stuff up. Put guardrails and boundaries about the lies of the devils, false religion, bad ideas. Some of us are living in cultural correctness and wokeness. It's just bad ideas and stuff that's not scriptural. And we're playing around with spiritualists and palm readers and craziness. Let's stay in the word. Keep your focus right. Keep your heart, your mouth, your ears, your eyes, your focus on the Lord Jesus, and get rid of all this other garbage out of your life. Some of the music and the television and the culture, what enters your soul through media and culture, man, some of us need a massive purge of our playlists and our Netflix binge watching, because man, we wanna not even enter the path of the wicked. We don't even wanna walk in the way of the evil. We wanna avoid it, not go on it, turn from it, and pass on. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you convict us of this word? Convict us where we've made mistakes. God, I pray that nobody would sit here feeling shame and guilt, condemnation, but Lord, may we feel conviction. May we feel led by the Holy Spirit. May we feel just moved by the Spirit of God to make some hard right turns in this area of who we do life with and how we're doing our lives. I pray for your forgiveness. Come on, can everybody just do this for me? Just open your hands to the Lord. Let me just lead us in a prayer. We gotta get you out of here. But I want us to respond. Has this message meant anything to you guys? Come on, just pray this for me. Say, God, forgive me where I have not tightened the reins on the life I live for you. Say, Lord, I commit to Jesus Christ as Lord of my whole life. I believe you died for me and you raised for the dead to give me eternal life and to live as an eternal person. So Lord, I commit to let Jesus lead every part of my life. I'll establish guardrails. I'll repent of my sin. I'll come near to you and your word and live under the Lordship of Christ for the rest of my life, in Jesus' name. Say, God, I'm all in. Help me, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to get this right in Jesus' name. God, we receive your word and we receive it by faith in the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. Amen, everybody.
We're so happy that you joined us today. We hope that you've been inspired and challenged by today's message. If you'd like to grow in your walk with Jesus, stay connected, or partner with us through generosity, be sure to visit our website at lifepointchurch.tv. We hope that you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.